Many, many years ago, well, a couple years ago, my father told me a story about many, many years ago in his life. It was about when he was 13 or 14, he's not sure which, and I suspect it was the summer between just before he turned 14. So it'd be 1933, 34, someplace in there. He and a friend of his, about the same age, were hired by this man to drive a car, 13 or 14, to drive a car with another car in tow behind them from Brooklyn, New York to Chicago, Illinois. So there's three guys, two boys and a man, driving six cars across country. When he got to Chicago, the cops caught him. Okay, that's the end of this thing, right? Nah. They made him get a driver's license. 13 years old, and he got a driver's license. He got a driver's license by lying about his age, because you don't get a driver's license, even in Illinois back then, you don't get a driver's license at 13. So he lied about his age, which, by the way, he used that driver's license to enlist in the Navy a couple years later, just a tad early. But then, once he got the driver's license, the guy then hired them again to drive another car and a in tow from Chicago to San Francisco. 13 years old. He gets to San Francisco, he and his friend are paid off, and they start wandering. They start walking all over the place. They hitch rides, they get on the trains, they bum it. They go up the coast and all in through the mountains and back down the south. And finally, somewhere, I think, if I remember correctly, he said someplace in Nevada, the cops caught him again. This time, they phone home to Brooklyn, get a bus ticket from Brooklyn, from Nevada to back to Brooklyn, put him on the bus and send him home. Stories have power. You're amazed, you're mystified, you're saddened, you're enlivened, you're in joy. They say something to you, and sometimes they even say things between the lines. Things that are not meant to be said have been said. About spring of each year, we have the Jewish people have Passover. And during Passover, they have a meal. And each piece of the meal means something and says something. And part of the ceremony, part of the celebration of Passover each day is that the youngest child in the family, at the appropriate point, somebody nudges him and he says to the oldest person in the room, he says, "Father, why is this night so special? What is different about this night? Why are we doing this thing?" And it gives an opportunity for the father of the clan to say, "This is what it's all about. This is how we were saved as a people from the hand of Pharaoh. This is how the plagues came in, and we were passed over by the angel of God." It talks about how we were taken out of Egypt by the powerful hand of God and taken to the Red Sea and saved from Pharaoh's army and taken through the sea and out into the wilderness. But it also talks about how the people of Israel were given an identity. Who they were as the people that God has called out of slavery into the wilderness and then into the promised land. It talks about the identity of the people of Israel. And it also talks about the covenant. The covenant that is established between the people and God. That I will be your God if you will be my people. Now, in the scripture reference from Isaiah this morning, we have another story. It's not told in story form, but it's a story about this wondrous and wonderful king who sees a people who are hurting, and he decides to help. And because he is a generous and faithful leader, because he cares about his people, he assumes that the people, like himself, will be honest and faithful in their dealings with him. And so he comes. He doesn't send an ambassador. He doesn't send a messenger. He doesn't send a flunky of appropriate rank. He comes himself into the people's lives. And because he is present in their lives are secured. They are made wealthy. They are redeemed from their debtors. And they're given a sense of pride and position in the world around them. This king loves them so much that he holds them close to himself for many, many years, simply because of that love that he has for each and every one of them. The reading that we didn't read this week from Matthew is part of the story of the birth of Jesus. It's the very end piece there. Leading up to it is the story of the wise men, the three kings, the kings that come to visit Jesus. You know that they came from far away, and they came to the east, out of the east. They came to Herod, and they asked where the king of the Jews was to be born. They asked the king of the Jews where the king of the Jews was to be born. And he doesn't know exactly, but they finally figure out it's in Bethlehem. So he sends the wise men to Bethlehem and says, come back when you're finished and tell me where he is so that I can come and worship him also. But while they are there, they receive a vision from God that Herod wants to kill the baby, and they go home another way. The scripture lesson for today from Matthew talks about how God comes to Joseph in a dream that night, and he tells him that Herod wants to kill them, and he needs to get the mother and the baby and head out at Dodge. He needs to go down to Egypt where he will be safe until God calls and tells him to come back. In both of these stories, what sticks out to me is that God is involved. God is powerfully present in both of the stories. He's a hands-on kind of God. He participates in the lives. He's there sharing himself, dealing with the situation by putting himself in the situation, being part of what is going on here. He participates in all the parts of the story. And he shares himself, and he cares about the people that he is dealing with. There's another story about a man who was a baker in 18th century England. And he had baked a whole load of bread, and he had great visions of the money that he was going to make from all of the bread that he had baked. And he had a cart, a hand cart, and he was pulling it into town. And as he's coming close to the place, the sales, the fair, where he's going to sell all of his goods, his cart hits a hole, a big muddy hole, and it breaks the axle, and the wheel falls off, and the cart tips over, and all of the bread dumps into the mud. And the man just looks at the mess, and at his dreams gone awry, and he just breaks down and cries. And people gather around him. They see the bread. They see him. They see the man who is hurt so badly. And they say, oh, that's terrible. That's horrible. I'm sorry. I hope everything is going to be all right. I wish that I could do something for you. About that time, a man who happened to be a Quaker steps up and says, well, I don't know about you, but I'm 2 pounds sorry. How sorry are you? God wants to get his 2 cents worth into our lives. He cares about us enough to touch us. He dares enough to look the beggar in the eye. He cares enough about each and every one of us to be part of who and what we are. Our problem is that we're so separated, we're so distant from each other anymore. We're disconnected from the world around us these days. I mean, think about it. You can do your banking. You can do your work. You can buy your groceries. You can pay all your bills. You can even have a dating relationship on the computer today and never have a conversation with a person. You can have a relationship with another human being and never speak to them at all. A big thing right now in the world around us, has been around for quite a while now, is telecommuting. You ever go to work on the computer? You don't get up in the morning, you don't have to rush around and get ready, you go in your pajamas, you sit down, have breakfast, enjoy yourself a little bit, and at 8:29 you amble over to the computer and log on. You never have to talk to anybody, you never have to be with anybody. You go to the grocery store, you go to the restaurant, and you're sitting there, or you're standing in the front of the cashier, she's checking out your groceries, and you're talking on the phone, talking to people miles or hundreds of miles away, and ignoring the people who are right around you, and the person who is standing there looking at you and doing the job for you. We totally ignore them and pretend they're not even there, because we want to be part of some kind of virtual community where we share our most intimate details, who we are and what we're all about, with 10,000 of our very best BBS. who will then turn around and share with 10,000, share the same thing you gave them, they'll share that with 10,000 of their BBFs. Best friends forever, in case you didn't know what BBF was all about. We are totally disconnected from the world and the people around us. We have nothing to do with what's going on around us. And so that's why I think, and it's not new, it's been happening for a very long time. I think the writer of the book of Hebrews, the second lesson today, is celebrating the rehumanizing of the world. God has come to be in us, Emmanuel, God with us. God is part of our lives, part of our being, part and parcel of who we are, sharing our human flesh with us. He is incarnate. The carnis part of that word is the root for carcass, part of who and what we are, the body that we are. And He is part of us. And Jesus Christ, His only Son, comes to live among us. And He's real and tangible and touchable. He knows what it is to be part of. He's not a virtual Savior. He's not sitting up in heaven someplace on a big white throne, separated from us and high and lifted up, busy, busy, busy with all the things of the world, so busy that He doesn't have time for peons like you and me. Jesus Christ is here among us. He was born among us. He knows what it means to be a baby. He knows what it means to have the day-to-day existence, the hot when you're in the summertime and the cold in the wintertime and the splinter under the skin and the beauty and the wonder of the world around us. He knows what it means to be obedient to his parents. He knows what it's like to have to make a living, to earn a living in this world. He knows what it's like to be responsible for putting the bread on the table, and He knows the pain of not being able to put the bread on the table. He knows the sorrow of losing someone close to you, and He knows the reality, that final, painful, just like us reality of death. He knows what it's all about because He's been there with us in it. And part of us. God identifies with us through His presence in our lives. Whether we are saints or sinners, faithful or full of doubt, He is present with us. And being present, He saves us. He saves us from the burden of guilt as we find forgiveness and discover that we can be forgiven. Even I can be forgiven. He saves us from being lost, from being cut off from our relationships, so that we have no identity outside of ourselves. He saves us and makes us part of the community, part of Himself, part of who and what He is all about. He saves us from wandering without any kind of moral compass or a word, a guiding hand in our lives. He gives us that kind of guiding hand that shows us and points us in the right way so that the world is not every man and woman for himself. And He saves us from death. Not death itself. We're all going to die. We all have to do that. But He saves us from that, the fear of the process, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what can and will happen in the future. Because He gives us the promise that He will be with us now and forever. Without that presence of God in our lives, there is no assurance, there is no confidence whatsoever that life is anything more than today and maybe, just maybe, tomorrow. There's a television show on right now called Undercover Boss. Have anybody seen it? I've seen about this much of it. The concept is there, of course. The CEO or the president or something of a major corporation that's high and lifted up and nobody really gets to meet or know it as a person. He takes a job at an entry-level position. Now, how they take video of all that he does and without the other people involved knowing what's going on, I'm not quite sure. But he takes an entry-level position, and he gets trained, and he understands what the requirements that come from up here and intact down here. He begins to realize what's going on and how he's involved when he's up here, how he's involved down here. And he begins to experience the realities of life. Well, that's God. God has come down and lived among us and been part of us, who we are and what we are all about. Our God is a hands-on God kind of God who watches over us and he cares for us personally simply because he loves us. Amen.